You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi everyone, this is Deep Tran, your token theater friend. I'm really sorry the podcast is late this week and Jose could not make it because he and I could not find a time to record together. I'm still in California at my parents' house. Jose was in Baltimore, and I also had a freelance gig this week that had me working 8 straight hours a day. Next week, we should be getting back to our regular schedule. But before I turn it over to the interview Jose and I did last week with the very talented, though you already know that, Josh Groban, pause for reaction. I wanted to give you all a quick look into what's going on in my mind this week and what I'm thinking about and what I hope you can take away from the news. First of all, my heart goes out to Breonna Taylor's family and everyone who is protesting the decision that let the 3 police officers who murdered her while she was in her apartment, it did not prosecute them. And she has not received the justice that she deserved. And I cannot say that decision was surprising, but it was disappointing nevertheless. So I would like to remind everyone who is listening to donate to the Bail Project in order to help everyone who is protesting on the ground and risking their lives right now. Even if you feel like you are not doing enough, I don't really think anyone is doing enough right now, but if you are able to do what you can, then every little bit helps the cause, and I truly believe it. And I also wanted to take this moment to talk about what Josh Groban is going to talk about a little bit later, which is gratitude and trying to be grateful for some of the, I wouldn't say blessings or positive things, but some of the things that we're able to do right now during this time that we would not be able to do otherwise, such as protesting. And for me personally, I have been able to spend the most time with my family in California that I've ever had in years. I'm going to be on the West Coast for more than a month, actually. And I've been able to reconnect with my aunt, who I haven't seen in 20 years because she is stuck in America for the foreseeable future because there are no flights from America to Vietnam right now because we are a shithole country. But she and I have been able to reconnect, and she tells me that I look like my grandmother, who I have never met on my dad's side. And I've also been able to sing Hamilton with my nieces and nephews. They are obsessed with Hamilton. They've seen it 3 times in the past 2 weeks. And I've been able to partake in that joy with them, discovering that they love musical theater. So I'm really happy that we get to have these sing-alongs together, which would not be happening if this was just a normal environment. And before I turn it over to our interview, I also wanted to let you all know that in next week's podcast, Jose and I will be talking about Romantics Anonymous, which is a new play created by British director Emma Rice of Knee-High Theatre Company, and it'll be broadcasted live from the Old Vic in London, and it'll be live broadcasted until September 26th, and it'll be available on demand until September 28th. So if you want to watch that with us, go online and buy your tickets. The link to that will be available in this episode description. And considering this week that the Metropolitan Opera announced that they will be canceling all live performances until fall 2021, I think it is overdue now for producers to figure out an alternative way of presenting work, or if they cannot present work, an alternative mission for their organization. This off-Broadway theater company that I love in New York City called Soho Rep has now pivoted to supporting artists. And they've recently named a artist who will be joining their staff full-time and will be getting a salary until next summer. If a company is not pivoting right now to alternative modes of production or to additional ways of supporting artists, it's both bad business sense and they are going to make themselves irrelevant and probably threaten the livelihood of the company as it is. No company can just shut down and hope that theater will come back within the next 4 months. They need to be figuring out a way to still create and support. And on a final note, I want to encourage all of you who love live performance and want it to come back as soon as possible. Now is not the time to be apolitical. We cannot afford to be. Our livelihoods, the state of our planet, it depends on it. So I encourage all of you to do what you can to get out the vote, to encourage people in your own lives to vote, to continue fighting so that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can get elected and that the Democrats can retake control of the Senate so we can actually have a federal response that resembles South Korea, where they had a national response and now theaters can reopen there. That could be us if we had a president that actually gave a shit. So this is not the time to be apolitical or think the arts are somehow separate from everything that's happening. Obviously, it is not. Do what you can to get as many people to vote as you can, to give them the right information, to fight misinformation. And by electing the right people to positions of power in this country, we'll actually get somewhere with everything that we've been fighting for the last 4 years, the last half a century, which is universal health care, racial justice, police reform, arts funding, all of those things that we want and we think are unattainable, they are attainable with the right people. So do not sit back. Do what you can to keep fighting and to get the people around you to vote. I know this is a theater podcast, and I did not expect to get in front of this microphone and start talking about all of these things. I guess I'm really just feeling a lot right now. I'm sure that you all are too, but I hope that you all are having a okay week considering and finding some joy wherever you can. And I think this next part of the show will give you a lot of joy because our guest for this episode is the multi-talented, doesn't have a Tony yet, but he will get there, Josh Groban, who has a new album, Harmony, coming out in November. And he's doing 3 concerts in quarantine. And one of them on October 3rd will be a Broadway themed concert. So all of you who loved hearing him or seeing him in the Broadway musical Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, rejoice! And for those of you who are new to this podcast and are here because of Josh Groban, welcome. I hope you like it, and I hope that you come back. Josh talked to me and Jose about how he started these quarantine concerts in his bathroom and how he's learned to make them better and how he's now taking requests from audiences live during his concerts. So let's go to that interview.
Josh Groban, thank you so much for joining us. I have a very important question to ask. I was looking at my Great Comet book before talking to you, and I was
it's a good book.
It is really, really fantastic. And I was like, hold on. Is this you pre-pandemic? And is this you after the pandemic? Although you look fabulous, so
I think I know which picture. Yep, that does it. Yeah, that is, could not be more accurate, Jose. Yes. But I will say, though, that in the second picture, even though I do have a half-empty bottle of wine, some great, great reading going on. I got to say, there's some amazing reading and writing going on. Yeah, it's been a time, I think, for all of us. But I think the thing for all of us in the artistic community is that we're, in some ways, I've never been more connected with my creative friends and family because, you know, we're all just checking in on each other constantly and finding ways to send each other what we're working on and invite each other to each other's Zooms, whether they're creative or friendly or just a drink on a Friday night. I do hope that that part, when we return back to some semblance of normal in the future, is the appreciation of what we had, who we have around us, and kind of taking things back to the idea of just like, we're just going to be there for each other and support each other. That can get lost sometimes when you just got nothing but a fast treadmill of things you're trying to accomplish and places to be and people to see. It's, you know, I think that that's one silver lining amongst a bog of awfulness. So, yes, those pictures are accurate. And you just made me miss my Comet family and not miss the, having an accordion and a fur coat on every night. I got a little warm, but, everything else.
Well, at least you didn't have to be the ones climbing those stairs because I've talked to some cast members and they're still complaining about their knees.
Truly they are. I mean, we had such a treacherous jungle gym of a set that was really fun. I mean, like, you know, our first tech rehearsals were like, we get to play on this every night. But that honeymoon was over after like performance 72 or something, you know, when you have clarinetists, you know, high kicking through the balconies. Yeah, our PT was put to hard work during that show. We had a lot of stuff. My character, thankfully, was not supposed to move well. So there wasn't a lot of high kicking I had to do. There was one drunken high kick where I actually fell into the pit one night because I was supposed to be belligerent. The audience just kind of bought it. I thought, wow, he's method. When I did stage door that night, everybody was just like, how do you do that every night? That was amazing. I'm like, thank you. I know.
Like, I'm a real actor.
Oh, man. Look, Ben Platt is crying his eyes out next door, but I am falling on the drum set. I am bruised to hell right now. And give me the Tony.
I know. Better luck next time, right?
Well, I only fell once. If I fell more, you know, I've learned my lesson.
So you have a new album coming out, and you're going to be doing a series of concerts, and your first concert is going to be Broadway songs. And I wonder if, you know, going back to the book with Pierre, what is it like to put together a set list of your favorite Broadway tunes? Because there's like a billion, like a gazillion.
It's hard because there are just so many from so many eras of musical theater, so many eras of your own life where you were inspired by musical theater. When I think about, you know, being a child in the 80s and kind of the explosion of the grand, you know, just format changing musicals of that time period to now, when you have so many forward thinking and genre breaking plays and musicals, now some of them now virtual. I mean, like, we're in a whole new territory of expression in the theater, inclusiveness. Everything has shifted so much. How do you choose all the songs? How do you choose all the eras? And so that's the thing that kind of can be the most you know, debilitating when thinking about songs, is you can just be stuck because there's just too many to choose from. But I do have a little bit of a template with the Broadway album Stages that I did, because I went through a lot of that hard part doing that album. I chose when I did that album to just focus on the songs that I grew up with. So focus on the stuff that, you know, that really introduced me to the world of theater when I was a student. And so to do a live stream like this, there's songs from that. And then we open up the comments and we say, what do you want to hear? You know, to the Broadway fans, to the incredible thing about doing a show like Great Comet was that it was able to introduce my fans who only knew me from the music I've made in the past to this extraordinary world, and especially to a show that was so interesting and creatively good for Broadway with Dave Malloy's score and this incredible cast. And so I got a lot of my fans to now follow me into the Broadway universe. And I made fans that only then knew me from doing the Broadway show that hadn't previously listened to my other stuff. So a show like this in some ways is the most important to me, because it gives me a chance to honor that world that's meant so much to me my whole life and do it virtually, which means that people from all over the world can listen to it and hopefully be, you know, invigorated by it if they're a fan of my stuff and will learn about these songs, or if they're a fan of that world and they get to listen to it from Argentina, wherever, France, or we had 63 countries that tuned in on the last one. So it's an exciting time to do a show like this when we all miss Broadway so very much.
Right. And I feel like with the live stream, you're like, you're mimicking the experience of seeing someone live, and, you know, like it can't be replicated again. And yep. So like, since you've been doing this throughout the pandemic, have you like learned what's the key to performing via Zoom, especially music? Well, 'cause I feel like music has been like a tougher nut to crack.
Yeah, definitely. So to the first point, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do it live, because I think a lot of people are, you know, they're pre-taping in extraordinary locations, you know, but it's still the same as if you were to go buy a DVD of a concert from wherever. And we really wanted this to have as much of the communal aspect of being in person as possible. So when we fade up, that's happening, you know, and I'm getting a feed in real time on my iPad of people commenting and tuning in, and we might change a song because somebody says it online. There might be cracked notes. There might be better notes than I've ever sung in my life. The amazing thing that comes from the live performance, we wanted to do that with this. We wanted this to be a way for people around the world, which is why we're doing them earlier in the day, Pacific time, so people from around the world can tune in, to come together. And it is weird not having applause at the end of the songs, but to read the comments after the fact and to see so many people have a moment of escape and to be able to connect in that way just meant everything to me. And I was able to perform for more people than I would ever perform for in a single concert. So, but the sound issue is a big one, because I started doing these kind of in my bedroom and I was just kind of singing into my laptop. And then I started, as a joke, I went into the shower and started singing fully clothed, and the acoustics were incredible. And so people were like, sing more songs in the shower. And so I wound up doing these shower songs. And but it just kind of said to myself, like, oh my God, we are really DIY right now. And at some point, we have to transition into how do we exist in this new normal where I get to hire my band and crew, and I get to really kind of give myself and give the fans the quality that they have come to expect, because this is going to be a minute. And so the place that we're recording this and it's not recorded, it's live, but the place that we're going to be filming it live got top of the line, state of the art sound equipment, visual equipment, streaming equipment. So we tested this in June and it was just went off without a hitch. Got a huge wooden cutting board that I'm knocking on right now. That was important to us, that if we're going to start doing these, that when people decide to get a virtual ticket to this, that they're going to get something very, very high quality.
Yeah. I love that. Like, I wish people would applaud when I'm singing in the shower, but my neighbors are usually like, shut up.
You know, as long as you sound great to you. That's the thing about the shower, is that as long as you are in it, you know, doesn't matter if anybody's listening.
I'm going to use that, you know, I'm going to show this to my mom and everything. I'll be like, well, you know, you can't shut me up anymore, mom.
She's going to say, I knew it.
I have a serious question, so I'm going to stop laughing. You know, we're recording this a few days after 9/11. And I think about you. Okay, that sounds strange. I think about your song, You Raised Me Up, around that time, because it was a time, you know, I hadn't moved to New York yet, and I was living outside the States. And I remember your song becoming an anthem for what was happening and seeing people literally, you know, the soul of the country and also the soul of the world in many ways rise up again. And I wonder for you, you know, I cannot believe that it's been so long since that. And I wonder, almost two decades after that, you haven't aged a bit, and neither has your song. In fact, it's appropriate for what we're going through right now all over the world. It's one of the anthems of humanity, I would say, of the the time that we've been alive. And I wonder, what's it like for you? You recorded that song so long ago, and it's still so freaking important and so iconic. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me. So often we record, you know, I'm in a little studio and you put songs out there and you hope that people will connect. And stories like yours remind me why songs like that, why making music, why continuing to sing, especially songs of hope, I think are so important because they are timeless. And the amazing thing about a song like that is that, you know, I was so young when I recorded it, and I feel this way about a lot of the songs I recorded at that age, is that I enjoy actually singing them more now than I did then because I've lived since then. Like I was kind of like thinking to myself, whether it's that song or another song, there were a lot of songs back then where like I got the broad stroke of why it was important, but there's only so much you can tap into if you haven't like walked it yet and been through it and experienced it. So to go back and sing songs like that today, where I've witnessed the country changing in so many ways, where I've been through so many experiences where we've had to be there for each other in ways we had never expected, where togetherness and defeating, you know, otherism and fear and anxiety more than ever is so important. It feels so wonderful to have a song that can be so universal like that and to uplift people. I think songs of hope, songs of thanks, songs of gratitude, they never die. There's always, you know, in good times and bad, going to be great reasons to have those songs in our lives and to have those songs as the soundtrack to help us get through the hard moments and to celebrate the good moments. And so as somebody who has a couple of songs like that in my catalog, it never gets old for me. It never gets old for me to hear a story like that. It never gets old for me to go out and sing it and see all the iPhones in the air, you know. It's a great feeling. And so to that point, on a broader scale, having music just in general right now has been so mentally life-saving for me. It's been such an amazing thing to be able to create. I feel very fortunate to be able to create, to be able to be a fan and listen, and to be able to have fans to listen to what I do. I'm very, very grateful. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, you Raise Me Up is like a very optimistic song, but actually, so like when Adam Schlesinger died like earlier this year from COVID-19, and you know, he was such an amazing songwriter, and
he was incredible.
And I loved and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, like I rewatch it pretty regularly. And
brilliant.
As soon as I heard the news that he had passed, I put on the end of the movie, the song that you sang at the end of one of the really dark episodes of it, because for me, it's one part morose, but one part actually like quite like funny, like, and in the way it's funny, it's an oddly uplifting experience. And so like, have you been going through like your old catalog to kind of remind yourself of what gave you hope before this?
First of all, Adam was just such a brilliant songwriter. And he was so exceptional on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as a writer, because he was able to do that thing that is deceptively one of the hardest things to possibly do, which is to write something with humorous overtones that underneath the surface are actually full of so many incredible truths and are actually very, very poignant. And so to be able to make somebody laugh and really listen at the same time was one of his greatest gifts, and he's going to be so, so missed. And I was so proud to have sung a song of his with Rachel Bloom. And yeah, I mean, I've been going back. I mean, part of the fun of these live streams and getting requests from people is that you go back and you start kind of rehearsing and listening to and singing songs that you hadn't really thought of. I'm not my own biggest fan. Like, that's for other people. You know, once I've released something into the world, it's for them. And so when you get asked to do songs that are kind of deeper in your catalog, stuff you haven't listened to or assumed you were going to do anytime soon again, and you get a note from buddy saying, from somebody saying this song's meant a lot to me, or this song, the message of the song has changed for me because of X, Y, and Z. That's the kind of back and forth that is making these so fun, because, you know, when you go out and you do a mega tour, if you've got your tour and your trucks and your buses, and you're basically a traveling circus, you can make some changes every night, but every one of those changes has a light cue and a sound cue and 50 people that need to know what you're going to do. And so, to do these where we're much lighter on our feet, and we can switch it up and we can take requests and we can decide, you know what, I'm going to tell the story, and this story is leading me to a song I never thought I'd do, and we're just going to do it. That's really fun for me. And so I think for me, going back into the catalog, sure, I'll listen to that stuff and I'll find new meanings and all kinds of things. But as somebody who mostly gets the most meaning from my songs by performing them for people, that's where it's been the most fun for me, is to get those requests. Yeah.
Okay. I'll request that at the movie next time.
Yeah. It's a great one. I might have to do it. I might have to do it on Broadway night.
Yeah. Because it's not like how life is like, it's meaningless. It can seem meaningless sometimes. And I feel like that's like the mood of this.
Life doesn't make narrative sense.
Well, I'm going to be like the weird one here and be like, I have never felt more hopeful for so many of the reasons that you're actually mentioning right now. You know, like people all over the world get to see your work. You know, people who weren't able to see you on Broadway, for instance, get to see you sing Broadway songs. Can you talk about the other side of that, about the things that are actually giving you hope right now? The things that are, you know, the theater that you've seen maybe on Zoom, or if you're an Animal Crossing person like me, the Animal Crossing Theater.
Yes. Right? We'll visit each other's islands soon. Yes.
Yes. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's making you excited about, you know, things that are from this new world, so to speak, that you wish we could carry into the old world when we go back to it at some point?
Absolutely. I think that one of the things that, and I kind of touched upon it earlier, but the fact, I wrote a song that I released, but I'm going to be putting it on the new album called Your Face. And it was simply inspired by the fact that all of the stuff that we rely on, all the stuff that we get to say we're doing, that we have, that we're looking forward to, we've been taken down to just who we are, how we connect as human beings face to face through a very, very difficult time, which can show the true character of a lot of people. And the thing that's given me that hope is that the true character of the vast majority of the people that I've come in contact with when I'm not on Twitter, because Twitter is just but that I know when I walk around New York, when I'm in the artistic community, is good. We want to help each other. We want to learn how we can best help each other. We want to grow. There's always going to be ways in which we need to shine a light on and be passionately angry about the things that aren't right and the people that don't have good intentions. But where I find hope is in the humanity that I've seen, where people do want to make change for good. People do want to find out how to grow from this. And just simply the thing that I'd like to have stay the same from all this is our remembering how important those simple things are. I have never been more grateful for my family, the people that I have in my life, my friends, my girlfriend, any pet that I meet on the street. I don't care if it's mine or not. The fact that now when I have a conversation, it's not 30 seconds. Like, I will keep that person for an hour because I want to know more. There's so much that is bringing us back to, I think, why we're here to begin with from this. And that's not discounting the extraordinary tragedy that this has been, or the deep sadness and trauma that this has been for everybody. But through the trauma and through the tragedies, if we can come out of this with more appreciation and gratitude for those simple things, why we create, why we love, why we make friends, why we take a walk in the park, and continue with that simple gratitude, then I'd consider that a silver lining in all this. That's what I hope to take from all of this, because I think, as we all are guilty of doing it, we get lost in our own egos, we get lost in our own looking over the hedge. What am I doing? What am I not doing? Who's doing that? Whatever. We all are guilty of scrolling through Instagram and thinking about stuff that is not important. And it's a good time to take stock in what's important. And And so I'll hold on to that. I'll hold on to that, hopefully, because we all need reminding. But music helps us with that, too. I've been doing a lot of thinking about that question, too. I mean, I may not have the most eloquent answer to that question, because I think a lot of that internal conversation and questions about, like, how do you move forward? How do you continue? How do you grow? A lot of it is internal. Like, a lot of it is just, I think a lot of us are kind of swimming in our own thoughts about how we handle this in ways that sometimes you can't neatly express verbally, because there is a lot of time to think. There is a lot of time for that. But it's also given me a greater connection to the idea of faith. It's given me a greater idea of connection of being able to not control and being okay with that. And that doesn't mean it has to necessarily be within the confines of any specific religion, just the idea that it's okay to let go. And I think if it's a spiritual thing, if it's a religious thing, that being comfortable with the hope of faith is something that in our cynical world, we don't, a lot of people, especially my generation, sometimes kind of look with a side eye. And so that's been something that's been, and I've expressed it in some of the newer music that I've been singing lately, but has been something that I've been having an amazing time speaking with people of faith in every religion right now, talking to them about what brought them, talking to them about what it means to them to have that in times like this. As somebody who was raised with different faiths, and as somebody who's always considered myself, you know, a theist, but somewhat agnostic about what it's all about and being okay with wondering what it's all about. The idea that we can let go, the idea that we can have gratitude and have faith without necessarily having to have it defined has been very, very comforting to me in these times, and something that I also hope to continue with me throughout.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I actually call this the time of surrender, and surrender is usually a word that we associate with giving up. I think about, I'm in Brooklyn, trapped in my apartment since March, and around the time that usually I would be going to a show or like on a subway to go into, you know, to the city for a show, now I'm home, and now I get to see those beautiful sunsets every single day. It makes me feel like very Madonna, like a prayer. I'm down on my knees. I'm like, how can you not surrender to such beauty that otherwise I wouldn't be able to appreciate? So thank you for sharing that.
Totally.
That was really beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. Great chatting with you.
Thank you all for listening to our interview with Josh Groban. Jose will be back next week. And this is a time of the episode where one of us will tell you about our Patreon and why you should become a patron. Token Theater Friends is a labor of love for me and Jose. We love theater so much that we are doing a theater podcast during a pandemic when there's no live theater. But not only do we have a podcast, we also put the videos of every episode up on YouTube, so you can watch all that. And we also have a website, tokentheaterfriends.com, where we publish reviews and interviews and features, and featuring cool people who are not despairing during this time. They are doing something and they are giving us hope, and we are grateful for that, and we want to feature that. And so if you love what we do, I hope you consider becoming a Patreon supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you'll help support the Token Theater Friends and our work. We're 100% reader funded, and so you supporting us means that we should keep doing this project even though there's no live theater. But as long as you all enjoy it, we'll keep doing it. And this week, our Patreon shout out is to our patron Mike Sablone, who is doing an online project called Objectivity at the Warehouse Theater in Greenville, South Carolina, or as he said, quote, or really everywhere. It's a Zoom seminar run by a famous decluttering expert that doesn't go as planned. It's part seminar, part interactive show, and part musical. Mike said that they open September 30th and they run for 3 weeks. He also said that it's been thrilling to just work on something new and theatrical after 6 months of inactivity. We are thrilled for you, Mike. Congratulations on the show, and we are so excited for you. If Marie Kondoing your life is something you want to do, then be sure to check out Objectivity. The link to it and all of the things that we talk about on this podcast will be available on tokentheaterfriends.com. Have a good week, everyone. Do what you can, and I hope you find some joy in your life this week. Thank you. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.